After talking about the Trinity and the Incarnation, the revelation of which we find primarily in the four Gospels, we might be led to ask, how can I trust this revelation? We began this series with a summary of just a couple of the many proofs for God's existence. Our next question is probably, well, if he created us, wouldn't he communicate with us? So we survey human history and see if there are any claims that God communicated with humanity. And while there are several religions and ancient cults that claim revelation from the gods, only when we come to the people of Israel do we find any real historical claim of one transcendent creator God intervening in history and communicating with man. Ancient pagan and mystery religions rely on myths from way back in the distant past with no real specific historical claims. Furthermore, more often than not, the gods claimed by other religions were the kinds of gods that we know the true God is not. They were just supposed to be powerful beings only quantitatively more powerful than us, not transcending the created order of space and time. So the first real claim of historical communication and concrete intervention from God is in Israel. But the only claim that God actually became visible and tangible in history comes from Christianity, which is the fulfillment of the religion of Israel. As the Apostle John says, "What existed from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we observed and touched with our own hands, I speak of the word of life." Christianity is the only historical religion, meaning that its essential claims rest on whether certain historical events happened or not. As St. Paul says, "If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain." So if Christianity is the only religion in history that even claims that God entered into history, then it merits our attention and study. God exists, and it appears that there is a claim that he entered history and told us stuff, so we should check that out. We have four accounts of the words and actions of the supposed God-man, the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And these, again unlike the ancient pagan myths and mystery religions, claim to be historical accounts set in a particular time and place. For example, Luke begins his gospel saying, "Since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, I too decided, after investigating everything carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you." And all four of the Gospels mention historical figures: Caesar Augustus, Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, Caiaphas, Annas, and others. And therefore, they make specific claims about the dates and places when these people lived. The Gospels don't even present themselves as religious myths, so to pretend that that's what we ought to take them as is very dishonest. They have all the hallmarks of serious reporting on actual events. But maybe you think they could have been changed over the years, little bits of religious stuff, miracles added by later people to puff up the image of Jesus. Well, the Gospels pass this test with flying colors. Because the original form of the Gospels is more securely verified than many other texts of secular history that we accept as accurate with no problem. We have thousands more ancient copies of the New Testament than of other ancient writings, such as those of Plato, Herodotus, Thucydides, Caesar, Tacitus, and Aristotle. And the time gap between our oldest copies and the events themselves, when it comes to the authors just named, is between 500 and over 1,000 years, whereas when it comes to the Gospels, we have copies from less than 100 years after the events themselves were to have occurred. And when we compare the earliest copies of the Gospels to the ones in the Bible you probably have in your house right now, they are practically the same. There certainly are no differences when it comes to the claims of Christ's divinity, his miracles, and his resurrection from the dead. So we either concede that the Gospels are well attested and accurately handed down as they were originally written, or we have to throw into doubt all the important ancient texts that we have, since they are far less reliable. Now at this point your objection might be, fine, the Gospels are unchanged from when they were first written, but when they were first written, they were lies. Well, there are a couple problems with that. Keep in mind that when the original Gospels were written, they were written in the lifetime of people who were around during the supposed events. Yet there was never any claim by contemporaries that the Gospels were lies. Furthermore, if we apply the same critical tools that modern scholars apply to historical texts, the Gospels show themselves certainly to have been written by the kinds of men they are claimed to have been written by. They even said things that would never be invented by people wanting to lie credibly. They included their own faults and doubts. They made women witnesses of the resurrection, and generally made themselves look foolish and bad. And finally, perhaps most significantly, what would these first proclaimers of the gospel have to gain by inventing the things they wrote? As we have just said, they certainly don't make themselves look good or praiseworthy. And all of the apostles, save one, were horribly martyred for their message, and even that non-martyr was tortured. And yet they all boldly proclaimed salvation in Jesus Christ to their last breath. The gospel spread throughout the known world with miraculous speed and changed the world forever. Those facts cannot be doubted. People who reject the gospels generally reject them because they come to them already rejecting God's existence. So any book that contains claims of God and miracles, they reject as silly. But that's begging the question. It's saying, God and Christianity aren't real because the Gospels aren't reliable, and the Gospels aren't reliable because they mention God and miracles, which aren't real. That's why it's important to cover the question of God's existence first. Because once you know God exists and is personal and created us for a reason, then, far from being far-fetched, the Gospels make all the sense in the world.